I'm Gab, he's Jules. Cloudy skies over West London, but not in this studio, Jules, because what a midweek we've had.
Incredible.
We have La Liga, we have we had the Pokal in Germany. So much going on. We have Serie A, and that's what, and we have this thing called the League Cup, which I am not quite as fussed about, but it's big to others. But let's start with the Victor Osimhen story, because I find this story absolutely incredible because it has so much in there. It's got globalization. It's got social media. I'll try to very quickly recap. At the weekend, Osimhen misses a penalty and hits the woodwork. Comes off the pitch, really loudly remonstrates with his manager, Rudy Garcia.
Yep.
Later, he apologizes. We think things have calmed down. And then a video comes out on TikTok on Tuesday.
On the official Napoli account.
On the official Napoli account. It's actually, I have to point out, it's actually what really made the story was two TikTok videos. One of them had come out 3 days earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The other one comes out on the day of, and most people would have seen them spliced together because they weren't, the second one wasn't up for very long. It was taken down. And essentially, they're mocking Victor Osimhen. Or it appears like that.
It appears
if you're not a TikToker. The first one, it shows him and he's singing, "I'm not a boy, I'm not a girl, I'm a coconut," and it shows him holding a coconut. Obviously a very loaded image.
Mm.
The second one, it has his voice speeded up. It shows him appealing for a penalty, wanting a penalty, but his voice is speeded up.
Yeah.
And
missing whatever. The penalty as well.
And it's the penalty he missed on the weekend. Osimhen's agent comes out and says the Osimhen's furious. Osimhen removes all pictures of him in a Napoli shirt from his social media accounts. He says he's mulling legal action. Napoli take the offending TikTok videos down. And then later that day on Wednesday, or the following day on Wednesday, rather, he's called up. He plays. Napoli beat Udinese 4-1.
Mm.
He scores.
Yeah. Not the penalty, though. He didn't take the penalty.
He did not take... No, actually...
And Rui Garcia was wanting him to say, "Victor, Victor!" And no, he leaves it to Zielinski.
I mean, it's a great part of the story. He turns to Zielinski and says, "You take the penalty."
Yeah.
I find this thing incredible because there's many, many layers to it. The first layer, Jules, and look, I am too old for this. I was too old to know this. So I thought, when I saw this, I'm like, what the hell? What are Napoli thinking putting this out? And then their defense is that the two videos, these are very popular. I'm going to use the word meme, but they're not memes. They're called trends on TikTok, where people will make a video, what to me looks like a stupid video, but hey, who am I to judge?
Yeah. Right? Everybody copies the format.
Everybody copies. So this coconut saying, "I'm a coconut," was a big thing. And so people, regular TikTok users, recognize it. So the guy makes these kinds of videos at Napoli around Napoli players. And he's made them for a whole bunch of players, Chucky Lozano and so on. Now, obviously, Osimhen, who I'm guessing is not a frequent TikToker, sees himself with a coconut and says, "WTF."
Yeah.
And the same thing with the speeded up voices. People spend hours listening to music with the voices speeding up, audio with the voices, and it's supposed to be funny and interesting to that. Again, I am not judging, right? I'm too old for this. How do we get out of this?
I don't know. I mean, the cynical in me thinks that if things had been rosy between Osimhen, Garcia, the club, in terms of the contract extension had been signed already, because Osimhen will have only 1 year left at the end of this season. If there hadn't been the argument with Garcia, if he'd scored, let's say, 10 goals in 5 already and Napoli were flying at the top of the league like they were last season, maybe that would have not taken those kind of proportions. However, because things are not like that, because I think Osimhen felt very aggrieved with the club in general, maybe for the contract negotiation, maybe for the Rudy Garcia's argument, maybe for a lot of the things that he's not happy with right now, this felt loaded to him. And I understand the coconut one, and you were saying, for the penalty one, I understand the give me the penalty with the voice sped up and everything, but then he still misses the penalty, and he looked like you're mocking your own player for missing a pen.
Right, I 100. Look, both those were completely inappropriate, right? The coconut, you should understand that your video, if it goes viral, goes to the rest of the world, people are not going to understand what this is. They're going to see the picture of a person of African descent with a coconut, and that is that's offensive and inappropriate. People are going to take it the completely wrong way, right? Mm. You know, you can't say like, well, we're Mr. Global Social Media, but then, yeah, global audience, people aren't going to understand what this is.
That's right.
The second one is absolutely no need to mock it after penalty. He earns right now about 4.5 million euros a season net, which, again, if you're one of those pounds a week type people, works out to round about 160,000 pounds a week plus bonuses. $10 million a year. I hate the fact that we have to do this, but we're a global podcast.
Yeah,
right?
So exactly.
We do this in
everybody needs to understand, yeah.
Everybody agrees he's underpaid for what he's producing, because you go around Europe and you say, who's on his level in his age bracket? And there really aren't many people who've done it for multiple seasons in a big five league.
Yeah.
In fact, other than Erling Haaland, he may well be the only person in that age bracket under the age of 25, right? Well, Mbappe, but he's...
Yeah.
Not really a traditional, if you want your traditional center forward, right? So the negotiations over his contract extension, and the reason you want to do this, as you mentioned, his contract expires 2025. A year from now is going to be a year away from free agency, which means that if Napoli want to transfer him elsewhere, his market value is just going to sink. So my understanding is they had reached an agreement whereby he would effectively double his wages, where he'd get into the 300,000 pounds a week range, if you like to think that way, $20 million a year, which I think is pretty much in line with his
production.
That's
why he deserves,
right?
Yeah.
And he's a big stretch for Napoli.
Yeah.
Napoli say, like, if we're going to pay you that much money, or he says, okay, I'll sign the contract, we'll get multi-year extension, but I need to have a release clause.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if Real Madrid, Manchester United come calling, you know, and they make me an offer I can't refuse, you're not there saying I want $500 million for him. I want to have the freedom, right? So let's come up with a number that's fair, that's equitable, and so on.
Because he often says that his dream was to play in the Premier League one day. He didn't mention a club in particular, but he said, like, you know, England has always attracted him. So you would think that as good as Napoli have been with him and he's been good to Napoli, there would be a point where he would want to discover something new.
He's already lived his two lifelong dreams of playing for Wolfsburg and Charleroi already.
And Lille as well, of course, in Ligue 1.
Well, I was mocking Wolfsburg and mocking Charleroi. I have more respect for Lille.
Oh, okay, that's good.
That's understandable. That's pretty customary, right? We saw it with Erling Haaland as well when he went to Borussia Dortmund. The reason you put in a release clause is you as a player say, look, I have all this leverage. I am going to take a little bit less money than I could if I drove a hard bargain, if I ran my contract down.
Yeah.
You, in exchange, put in a release clause so that people know how to plan, so they don't have to negotiate with you, and then I'm free to go. And the release clause is typically a little bit less than what I would be worth.
Yeah,
in the
or market,
market
value,
right?
Yeah.
So they talked about release clauses. I think the club's idea was we'll make it $100 million. And bear in mind, too, Napoli paid $80 million to get him. So... amortization, all this stuff. To make a clean profit, they have to get a big fee.
In
right?
a dodgy deal as well.
Let's which remember, we'll get to in a minute. But then De Laurentiis sees, ooh, these guys in Saudi Arabia, they're offering a ton of money. So for players. So we'll make it $100 million for Europe, and then we'll make it more if it's Saudi or whatever. At some point, this broke down. They couldn't agree on a number. And this is why he has not yet signed his new deal. Inevitably, he's going to be linked with other clubs. Obviously, immediately Chelsea, you know, but obviously Chelsea've got other fish to fry right now. We know Manchester United took a look at him last summer because Mark Ogden told us they decided to go in a different direction. But where do you see Osimhen if he doesn't sign, if there's a year left on his deal? And De Laurentiis is also very unpredictable in Napoli. He's a canny operator.
Yeah.
But his level is... any top team right now, right?
Yeah,
I'm not saying he'd put Haaland on the bench, but if Haaland weren't there, he could probably start for Manchester City.
You would think so, definitely. And he's got a different profile to Erling Haaland or to Kylian Mbappe, for example, of course, or even to Harry Kane. but he's younger than Kane, as we've been saying. He's at an age where he can still improve on many aspects of his game. So no, he would be, you would think that he would be really like wanted by a lot of clubs, especially in England. And if it's 100 million that we're talking, I think for Victor Osimhen, this is a really good price. I think you even, it's not a bargain, but this is a really good price. You're getting him for a really good value for what he's going to bring you and for how long he's going to bring you that. So I would see the appeal. I'm a bit surprised that Napoli, in a way, so this is going to play against them for sure in this negotiation and in that kind of power struggle between the club and Osimhen and his agent, that would be in their favour. I'm still a bit surprised. Is this a bit like the Kvaratskhelia one, that we still like, it's still not sorted. It's still taking a bit of time. And I know he's got technically still 2 years left on the contract. So there's not real any rush. Big clubs like that usually do those extensions around between the 2 years and the 18 months left on the contract. So they're on time. Still, they also knew that there was a lot of interest already last summer. And the closer you get to the final year of the contract, the more difficult it would be for them. We saw it with Leao.
Yeah.
And that was a hell of a negotiation for Milan. And in the end, it was good because he stayed, but it could have turned maybe very differently. So this is a tricky situation for them.
Just thinking Leao, of course, another former Lille player. Remember if players stayed at Lille forever? How good would Lille
the
be?
The team, yeah. Even Hazard, Leao, and exactly. Osimhen up front. Wow.
So
now, what do you see happening? What really now?
I know. Again, I don't know Victor Osimhen. I do know in Naples, he is probably, I mean, you could argue he's the best player that they've had possibly since Diego Armando Maradona. You know, I was trying to think in between, obviously they had Higuain and so on.
Yeah, Mertens.
Probably the best, most loved, or one of the most loved players, because, you know, you walk around Naples and in between the Diego Maradona murals, there are murals of Victor Osimhen.
Yeah.
He has really embraced the city. His personality, obviously, the guy's Nigerian. He's extroverted. It's a great fit with Naples. And I think there's two big signs to me which are really relevant. One is after this whole spitstorm breaks, Rudy Garcia asks him to start, or you know, calls him up for the game against Udinese, which you mentioned they won 4-1. He doesn't come up with a phantom injury. He's not like, oh no, my hip flexor, or no boss, I'm too upset. He's like, I'm a professional, I'm going to go. I think he also wanted to see the gauge the reactions. He shows up pitch side. There's a freaking like standing ovation from the fans. And booze for poor Rudy Garcia.
Yeah, of course he got booed. Yeah, yeah.
The poor guy.
Six games in.
Can we be clear? Rudy Garcia does not run Napoli's TikTok account. Can we just?
He didn't know that was coming out.
Now, obviously, he scores that goal. And initially, he doesn't really celebrate.
No,
although,
not at all, yeah.
When Mario Rui comes and jumps on top of him, and then over the course of the game, you could see the adrenaline and so on. He became much more emotive. I think this reflects really well. If I'm a club looking at this, and I look at how did Victor Osimhen react in this moment, he reacted like an absolute professional, and I think that matters. From Napoli's perspective, you know that you can count on an absolute professional. If you're Napoli now, what do? You have to take ownership of this. You have to apologize.
Yeah.
And you have to say, apologize in public. And you say, we absolutely soiled the bed, right? You soiled the bed with Osimhen, who feels trolled and unloved, right? Rightly or wrong. People are like, oh, yeah, take the joke. It's just TikTok, right? Osimhen doesn't need to know what TikTok is. He doesn't need to know the spirit of this. He just knows how this played out around the world.
Yeah, definitely.
And leaving aside the racial aspect of it, and there's a whole other layer to it, because again, you're operating in a global world. The term coconut may mean absolutely nothing in Italy or in Naples, right? It means something to people of color in the United States and in parts of Europe. It's, for those who don't know, and it's got nothing to do with Osimhen, by the way. It's somebody who is of African descent who is perceived to be acting as white, dressing a certain way, I don't know, listening to Dire Straits or country music or whatever in the heck it is, right?
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with it, but it is a racially charged term, right?
Yeah,
so this is how
people
see it. If you operate as a global brand, you have to be aware of this. And you have to. So you've damaged the club's image as well.
You really
have. You go to the social media guy and you say, kid, and I'm assuming it's a kid because he'd be really pathetic if he was a man in his 40s. And I would say, thanks for working for us. You're out. You can't work for us anymore. Yeah, yeah. You screwed up. Actions have consequences. I go to this person's boss. Did you approve this? Yes. Okay, fine. You're being suspended and you're going to be disciplined because you're not doing your job. You're in the communications department. You have to communicate images of the club and you just communicated something which hurt the club's image.
Yeah.
I go to their boss and like, did you know about this? No, I let the club's people do what they want. Great. Well, you're a freaking fool.
I know.
And I'm going to go and, you know, discipline you, right? And then I need to go in public.
I think
you're
right. You're right.
This is so needless.
Yeah, yeah.
This did not have to happen. This does not help anybody.
On the back of what we saw at the weekend, for sure. It was the wrong timing.
I mean, as with Rudy Garcia, it's tough to fill to fill the boots of a guy who just won the title, right?
I think it is. Maybe he's not helping himself either by trying to change too many things instead of almost saying, like, listen, everything worked so well. Let's just basically do the same thing. I think even for Kvaratskhelia, you saw with his goal yesterday, outstanding goal, of course.
He also hit the woodwork twice. Yeah. He looked really sharp.
But the goal was amazing. And then the celebration, you could almost feel the frustration of what happened in the last few weeks. Also, the argument that he had with Rudy Garcia, things not working. He hadn't scored since March 19th. It's a long time. So I don't think that's helping Rudy. And because of the way he is and the personality and, you know, I just don't think he's the most humble and I don't think that helps.
He did come out, Rudy, and he said what the club did was clumsy.
Yeah.
Which I think is already an admission because other people would have said, oh, look, I'm just on the sports side. So, you know, I'm not responsible for social media. He took some ownership. I mean, you and I would have gone stronger than clumsy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
But whatever. Clumsy, I got no issue with that. The court case, we've touched upon this before.
Yeah.
So De Laurentiis is being investigated for this deal. Now, you can give some background on Lille and their former owner who did this deal with Napoli for Osimhen.
Yeah, when Osimhen was obviously flying in Ligue 1, just one season there after leaving Charleroi, as you said, Gabi and Luis Campos recruiting him for Lille and Gerard Lopez. He left to go to Napoli for 80 million euros, which, to be fair, for the play that it was maybe a little bit too much, maybe, just about maybe, but okay, you could see it. I think the issue was that
was the headline fee, 80 million. And then we discovered it's not quite 80 million.
No, because four players from Napoli went the other way for the equivalent of 20 million euros.
Yeah.
One goalkeeper that was the number four goalkeeper, I think, in the pecking order for Napoli.
And he was in his late 30s and had a year left.
Yeah, became number three at Lille. And then three players who never played for the Napoli first team, who were in the like reserve team, if you want, who had never even showed up in Lille. God knows what happened to them three. But 20 million for those four is outrageous. And I think that's where the alarm bells that we say were ringing and that people are starting to look into more details into this very weird deal.
So the way this deal was explained to me is that Lille had some kind of covenant with their... because obviously Lille at the time were pretty heavily leveraged. They had borrowed money from different funds and institutions around Europe. And one of those covenants was, well, we can sell Lille. In fact, no one's just Lille. There's also Nicolas Pepe for X million. And if they didn't sell them, then it would accelerate the rate at which they had to make their payments for those fees. And that's why those two fees were so big. Now, obviously, Arsenal with Pepe decided to, as far as I know, pay the money in full, albeit staggered over time. De Laurentiis in Napoli says, well, all right, this is costing me because even then that 80 million goes on my books, amortization, all this stuff. I'm not going to give you 80 million in cash because I would be a dope if I did that. You take these guys on your books. And they're just on your books as the three younger Italian people. They never even, like you said, they went on loan to like third.
Yeah, I don't think they even put a foot in France.
And we'll do this to help Lille. I think this is going to be De Laurentiis' defense.
Yeah.
When it goes into court, whether they buy it or not, he's gonna try to argue, well, wait a minute, what advantage did I gain from this, right? This is not those false accounting deals where you've got swaps and inflated values. Yeah, we inflated their value, maybe, to benefit Lille. It actually hurts us. It comes at a cost to us. So I think that's going to be his defense, whether the court buys it or not, yeah. What the consequences are. I think that's all TBD. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough Napoli, enough Osimhen. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Manchester City won't win a domestic treble this season, nope, as Alexander Isak's goal dumps them out of the League Cup at the hands of Newcastle, 1-0. Jules, is this a big deal?
It is if you wanted to do it again, I guess. But of the three competitions that they won last year, the one really that you could be okay by losing would be the League Cup compared to the League and the Champions League, of course. So well done to Mark Ogden for obviously jinxing them after writing that they could do the quadruple this year. Nicely done, Oggy. So yeah, I mean, when you look at the team that they put out with Sergio Gomez in a position that even himself could not understand, really, he seems so lost on that pitch.
What's so hard? You're an inverted winger on the other side. Come inside.
I don't know.
And cross
it
the
looks,
ball with
it looks
foot.
To me that he looked really completely lost. Maybe Pep himself didn't care. Although, as we will see in the next week, he seems pretty unhappy with the whole thing. Did you like Bob? I love Bob. I love Rico Lewis. I mean, I thought the first half was good. And then the second half, they started slowly. They were a bit asleep. And then Newcastle, to be fair, with the changes that Eddie Howe made, were much better with more energy. Yeah. And in the end, they won it. But
thank you for that analysis. I think this whole thing is completely irrelevant and it doesn't matter. And by the way, maybe it's not going to be a domestic treble, but it could be a global quintuple because they got the FIFA Club World Cup. They also won the European Super Cup already. So there'll be no shortage of trophies.
That's true. I mean, and they can still do the same treble, the FA Cup, Champions League and league like the season. It's just the treble.
It's ridiculous where we've set them.
Won't have the League Cup in it like he had in last season either. And Pep wasn't happy. Gabby during the game, clashing with Jason Tindall, who's Eddie Howe's assistant. Even before the game, when he went to shake Eddie Howe's hands, Tindall was there first, so he had to shake Tindall's hand first, and then he looked at him like, why am I doing this, by the way?
He's a bit, those two guys are not.
I know. So he was not happy he clashed with Tindall. He was not happy with the referee either, and then he was even unhappier by the fact that they had to go back to Manchester by bus.
Yes, because it's Eco Pep, and he prefers to travel by train. No,
well,
it's
clearly
not. It's, he said he couldn't get a plane back. There's no trains running at that hour. His owner's not rich enough to build a private train line from to the training ground.
HS3.
exactly. So he has to take the bus. We can say first world problems. It does, extra hour to sleep does make a difference at this level.
Yeah, we play Saturday,
Fair enough. Let's talk Liga League leaders, Jules. That's right. Girona. Hey! The winner with Villarreal with our buddy Eric Garcia scoring the winner.
Somehow.
Are we going to be hearing Leicester City comparisons soon, or does who the two owners are kind of make it slightly less romantic? Well, come on. Less romantic than a Thai duty-free king?
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're already making the comparison back in Spain with Leicester and Girona. What we can say, I don't know how long this will go. And obviously now I think they play Real Madrid maybe this weekend, or they have a big game this weekend. So we will see a bit more what really they are about. And this is a big test. But to go to Villarreal being 1-0 down, coming back and scoring two goals, by the way, great. They're playing really nice attacking football compared to last season where they were a bit more defensive. Mitchell, the manager, doing an amazing job. And yeah, they have that confidence and momentum going into every game, which is great to see. It's a bit refreshing.
The club's largest shareholder, of course, City Football Group. Yeah. The other big shareholders, Marcelo Claure, who, if you don't know, is a Bolivian billionaire who owns a big chunk of Inter Miami.
Yeah.
And also, I think, Bolivar Football Club. And just to put him in the villain category, have you heard what Shein is?
I think so.
Okay, they make fast fashion.
Very fast.
We don't often buy teenage girl clothes.
No, but yeah, online retailer. They don't have a shop. They only have online. Yeah,
not very popular for many among environmentalists.
Yeah, exactly. Barcelona would have been top, of course, of La Liga, Gabi, if they had beaten Mallorca. But instead, they had to come back twice to draw 2-2 away there as Xavi rotated quite heavily, leaving Robert Lewandowski, for example, and Jun Koundé initially on the bench.
That's right. Look, he has to rotate, right? Because otherwise, why bring these players in? We want to see Inigo Martinez. Hey, look, left-footed center back. Yeah. You like that, right?
Yeah, so but not anymore.
Not good in this. Vedat Muriqi, the big man, monstering him. And then they send on the other big man, Kyle Larin, to do the same. They could have easily lost this game if Larin's finishing had been a little bit better.
That's true.
Rafinha, I thought, really turned things around for them. Ferran Torres struggled up front. Fermin, another kid from La Cantera.
A lovely goal. Good dummy by Lewandowski.
It's not easy. This is a team that's still evolving, and people just have to accept that. Jules, it's that time. Time for more quick hits.
Yes.
Chelsea scored their first goal since September as they beat Brighton and Hove Albion.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. All three of them. At Stamford Bridge, 1-0. But there's more injury woe as Ben Chilwell gets injured.
Yeah, gets injured. Nico Jackson, who scored, and you think, yes, come on, if he can continue like that in the league.
He won't be continuing. Yeah.
You know, and he's suspended as well. But, I mean, I don't know. I was not too convinced by the performance, I won't lie, to be fair. But the most important is to win. And again, we go into this slight cliché terms where you say all Pochettino cares right now is to win, regardless of how he needs something. Even in the League Cup, he would take it against Brighton. De Zerbi didn't seem too happy. He also made a lot of changes. But still, I think, you know, it was important for Poch just to buy a bit of calmness.
This is Chelsea's Champions League or Europa League, whichever way you want to put it.
Exactly. Inter Milan, take the lead against Sassuolo, but then Domenico Berardi sends them crashing to a 2-1 home defeat. Gab, have we been praising Inzaghi a little too much?
I wonder. I don't want to be super reactive. They played well in the first half, took the lead, seemed in control.
Yeah.
He loves to rotate, but he had actually had his starters in.
Strong team.
It was a strong team. They were definitely outplayed in the second half. Sassuolo has a tendency to outplay because they're one of those little teams that haven't been told they're a little team. So they go, it's like Burnley or Brighton, you know, they don't know their role and they do not shut up, right? They go when they play. I will say Jan Sommer, not great on the equalizer.
That's where they changed everything.
And also Berardi,
what a player.
Bit special.
In 4 days, you know, you beat Juve and Inter. That's pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing. How about Real Madrid, Jules? Carleto mixes it up again with Brahim Diaz and Joselu in the front three. No Jude Bellingham.
Nope.
But we do see Vinicius making his return off the bench in the second half. And maybe Las Palmas 2-0 to move within a point of the top. What crisis?
Yeah, you're right in a way, Gabi. Maybe it took them a bit of time to get going in that first half. They had chances. Brahim could have scored.
They had a ton of chances. But that's good. You worry when you don't create chances.
I'm happy for Joselu because he scored. And again, I know the criticism is quite heavy on him. And yeah, maybe he can't win you the Champions League, but he can still do a good job when you need him, especially in games like this against average team, let's put it that way. Las Palmas were not very good. And I thought invited a lot of the pressure. So again, you take that win, especially after the derby, you move on to the weekend and to the Champions League.
On the Joselu point, and I devote this to Real Madrid fans everywhere, he's not Benzema, right? How many league goals did Benzema score last year? I know how many Joselu scored. Joselu scored 16.
Yeah,
similar. On a bad team that got relegated. Now he's playing for a team that creates a lot more. I'm not saying he's better than Benzema, but I am saying he can definitely do a job for you.
He can do a job, for sure. Exactly. Meanwhile, looking to the future, Cadena Ser in Spain reporting that Real Madrid have their sight on Roberto De Zerbi, are you surprised, Gabby? Considering that I think Marca also said that Xabi Alonso will be the next manager next season.
I'm not surprised. I think it's absolute. When a club, we've been in this business long enough. When a club have their sights set on somebody and they make progress towards that person, Xabi Alonso, then immediately they put out another name, right?
Yes.
To give them a little bit of leverage. A
diversion
and so on.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Look, maybe one day De Zerbi will manage Real Madrid, although he does not feel like a Real Madrid manager in the way he approaches the game. But I'm not surprised. Everybody right now is raving about the Zen.
Yep.
But I think Xabi Alonso's got to be their first choice right now. More Madrid future here, Jules. Liga president Javier Tebas says there's a 70 to 80% chance that Kylian Mbappe will be at the Bernabeu next season. That's a pretty scientifically accurate percentage. He used the algorithm in his head to calculate.
In his head, clearly. I mean, I don't know, but he said, I've got no information here. This is just my feeling. Okay, thank you, Javier. Very helpful here.
No, but who's the dope who asked him the question?
Yeah.
This is what I mean, right?
I don't know if it was a photo, like, I can't remember. Oh, no, it was an interview on, was he on Media Pro? I can't remember. Well, Movie Star, maybe. I don't know. I thought Kylian was going to go into Real Madrid last summer. I said 100%. I was convinced, and it didn't happen.
Listen to Uncle Javier Tebas. He knows.
So 70, 80, right now it's 50. It's 50%. It's either he stays in Paris or he moves away. And if he moves away, as we know, he's very likely to be to Madrid. So if Tebas had said 50, I think we would not be laughing. We'd say, okay, yeah, well, it's pretty logic.
Look, ask Tebas stupid questions, you'll get stupid answers. Exactly. Not Tebas'
fault. Would he love Kylian in his league?
Of course
he would, of course. Meanwhile, Gab, AC Milan join Inter on top of the table as Stefano Pioli turns to his bench. And my boy Yassine Adli, who was really good, I thought, and they win 3-1 away at Cagliari.
Yeah, they looked really good. Okafor had some criticism. Yeah. I mean, you know, I love. I thought he was very effective. Obviously, he played center forward differently than Olivier Giroud. Pulisic also looked sharp. You know, Loftus-Cheek scored a great goal from distance. Yeah. Pioli talked about how, like, you know, he loves having depth. I think we're going to see more rotation for him from him throughout this season. Mm-hmm. And it's a lift for some of these young players who've been a little bit criticized before. But Yassine Adli, what a story. So he comes in with a big rep from Bordeaux, is frankly terrible at the start of the season. Doesn't get any playing time. In January, you know, they say, okay, Yassine, you're going to go on loan somewhere because you're not going to play here because you're not good. And he says, no, I want to stay. I want to show you that I can play. He's absolutely beloved by his teammates. Yeah. And so he rewarded him by giving him the start in a different position because at Bordeaux, he played higher up the pitch, playing in front of the back four as a playmaker in the Benacer role, if you will. And he did really well. And he's a player, I think, Milan can need.
Definitely, we need.
If you can do this on a regular basis.
Paris born and bred, you know, so...
Manchester United beat up Crystal Palace 3-0 as Sofyan Amrabat makes his first start for the club and Mason Mount makes his return from injury.
No.
Jules, is that the cavalry coming over the hill to help Erik ten Hag?
I'm not sure the cavalry, Gabby, but he will need numbers, people, bodies, depth, talent, all of that going forward anyway. So you take that. Amrabat will be very interesting to see where he plays, if he helps Casemiro, all of that. But that was a good way for them to come back. For sure, and Anthony Martial scored as well. So I'm happy, of course. Arkadiusz Milik scores the only goal as Juventus bounce back from the weekend's defeat against Sassuolo, that horror show, with a win over Lecce. Gab, Max Allegri says that this is who they are and how they need to play.
Yes, and what he means is Lecce had two shots on goal, both off target, 0.07 XG. And he goes on and talks about how great they were defensively.
This is Lecce, by the way,
Lecce, who were flying up the table.
They were.
Also having played nobody to that point.
Exactly.
I don't think this is how, this is one way to play. Just kind of like get the goal, a bit of fortune on the goal incidentally, then go and run, you know, you just kind of control the game. I want to see more from Juve. You can't win. You don't have the players to win consistently playing this way. No. It's as simple as you have to go and impose your game on the others. Guess who's back? Back again.
Yeah.
Aaron Ramsdale returns between the sticks. A teenager I'd never heard of named Charlie Sago Jr., but I'm sure you'll tell me all about. And he's like that other guy, Patel or whatever, last year that they were all excited about.
He's a good kid from the academy.
He's also Charlie, yeah?
Yeah, Charlie.
Arsenal churning out a bunch of Charlies from the academy. How about that? Makes his first start.
Who's the other Charlie?
Charlie Patino?
Oh, yeah. But he was on loan last season and he's on loan again.
That's fine. But he's still an Arsenal guy, right?
Yeah.
And Reece Nelson, remember him? Scores the goal that pushes Arsenal past Brentford. I think that's happy, right, Jules?
I mean, he made 8 changes. I think if he could have done 11, he would. If he didn't have to play that game, he would have loved it too.
I think Arteta loves the League Cup as much as I do.
Exactly. So you take the win and you move on. They play West Ham, I think, in the next round. So let's see that.
If I really wanted to mess with Aaron Ramsdale's head, I would have started Raya in this game.
I'd
be like, no, Aaron, you're not the League Cup keeper.
No, he knew he was coming. And he did really well. So well done to him. Leicester City, a new boy, Enzo Maresca, give Liverpool a scare. Kind of, Anfield, before Dominic Szoboszlai scores, comes on and turns things around with a lovely, lovely goal. Diogo Jota with a lovely goal too. And they go and win 3-1. God, that Szoboszlai goal was a bit special though.
It was wonderful. I don't know if that was the best goal by somebody who's got a long name starting with an S, because Samardzic scored a great goal.
I love the
where he
roulette.
Kind of dribbles everybody for Udinese against Napoli. Go and check it out. It's on social media. But yeah, by the way, I think it was a scare because you go a goal down early.
They never attacked again after that goal.
They don't need to attack. They're top of top of the championship. Maresca was Pep Guardiola's. He's got Guardiola DNA.
Good. You saw that.
He was Pep's assistant. That's good enough for me. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules. Cup glory for Bayern Munich 2 in the DFB Pokal. As they beat up third division Preußen Münster 4-0. Jules, good prep ahead of their trip to Leipzig this weekend.
Yeah, I'm a strong team from Tuchel, of course.
Krasig.
Matthijs Tel scored again. Choupo was starting up front as well. I guess they lost Serge Gnabry, which is the bad news, really, and he'll be out for a few weeks now. And Leroy Sané has been the best of their wingers, really, when you think about Coman and Gnabry, but you still, I guess, we need the depth and the squad. So it's sad news. But apart from that, yeah, it was pretty routine, easy.
Yeah, Preußen Münster. Which was not the third division for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not the case for Leipzig, though. Gabi, speaking of them, because they had to huff and puff to get past Verein Wiesbaden 3-2. Only 3-2, as Peter Gulacsi made his return as well.
So first of all, the return of Gulacsi, for me, I think is really, really big. I think he is substantially better than the guy who replaced him during his injury. So happy to see him back. Yeah, it looked like everything was cruising. Your boy, the little cartoon character, Emil Forsberg, opens the scoring.
Nice.
Then the big man, Benjamin Sesko. It's easy. They've got, you know, Openda, Xavi Simons. Those guys are on the bench. No sweat. And then they give up a goal before halftime. And then they start getting battered. And so they send on the big guns.
Yeah,
Sesko scores to make it 3-1. But then again, Pertai again scoring for Wien Wiesbaden. And it's really tight. I think one of the lessons here, if you're Leipzig, is I'm all for this rotation, guys in and out, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there's a reason. There's a reason you have a hierarchy and your starters are your starters.
Because,
you know, it looked like they took their foot off the gas. Again, probably thinking of Bayern.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk expensive United wingers, Jules. Anthony's flying back from the United Kingdom to be interviewed by Greater Manchester Police over his domestic violence allegations. Well, things aren't getting any better for Jadon Sancho, who is even more on Ten Hag's naughty step. What depressing story to United fans you want to talk about first?
I mean, I guess Anthony is still, there's an investigation. He will speak to the police. he would have to deal with that with the club and what the next step is, I guess. For Sancho, we know what the next step is if he doesn't apologize to Erik ten Hag for responding on social media and calling him a liar to what ten Hag said after the Arsenal game, then there's no way back right now. So Sancho is not allowed to train with the first team anymore, but not even allowed to be nowhere near the first team. Kind of, he can go to Carrington and train on his own. He will have coach and medical staff around him, because I think they have to provide that with the law, but not when near the first team activities, infrastructures, nothing like that. So for example, I would think from reading about it that he won't be able to have lunch or dinner with the first team.
Yeah, I read about that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know this, but they have a separate canteen?
I don't know. Maybe different times. Maybe so he doesn't come at the same time as the first team training. I'm not sure how that works. He can say hello. Can say hello to the tea lady.
This seems... So I think this story appeared in the top, but I think maybe they egged it a little bit, because it seems...
Yeah, but Ten Hag was really strong about that.
No, you can be really strong and say, dude, you're not playing and your negative attitude screws up my training sessions. Go train by yourself. That's fine. But then to raise it to a vindictive level like that, it would be excessive there. The way it was depicted seems a bit excessive to me.
Yeah, showing against stuff.
He controls us now, and he needs to really understand sometimes, you know what? Even if you don't like your boss, a little bit of sucking up is in your best interest, because if you can get back on the pitch a little bit, then you figure out an exit strategy.
Exactly,
somehow.
Even for his own future, man.
Whereas if you're not playing at all, even if you get a move in January, it's going to be that much harder to restart.
Yeah, completely. More United, Gab, I imagine you don't follow the under-21
side. No, funny enough, I do not.
No, but I'll tell you that they lost 8-1. 8-1, that is. Against Bolton in the EFL Trophy. So not the under-21 Bolton, by the way. So
no, they lost to the real Bolton team.
Yeah, exactly. So the first team. And they're currently, though, only 16th in the Premier Development League. So that's with other under-21 teams. So that's at least the same level as them. This is the academy that once produced the class of 92.
With Beckham, Scholes, the Nevilles. Nicky Butt, who's my favorite out of the group.
Class of what? So what, would they be born in?
It's got nothing to do when they're born. I think it had it to do with when they were...
The year they came out or something? So the class of 2021.
Look, this whole class of 92 thing is kind of like made up, because obviously, guess what? Phil Neville and Gary Neville are brothers. So Phil Neville was actually in a different age group, and some people stick Giggs in there, even though Giggs made his debut in like
before
1990.
The others.
So like it's kind of silly, but there's no question that this academy was once seen as one of the best in the country, possibly in Europe, other than Marcus Rashford, who weirdly enough played, because actually I was speaking to a friend and colleague of ours who's a big Manchester United fan. I won't reveal anything more, but you know who I'm talking about.
The Prince of Darkness.
The Prince of Darkness, who came out and says like, oh, they haven't had a under-21 England international in like a million years. Okay, because you're ignoring Marcus Rashford, because I think he skipped the under-21s, went straight in the first team. But then I thought, other than Rashford, who's the last contributor that they've actually produced? In terms of real academy people, I don't mean like guys I don't mean like Garnacho or guys they bring in or whatever,
or 16.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Is it Scott McTominay?
Yeah, I would maybe James Garner, Everton now, maybe.
James Garner has contributed nothing to United because he plays for a different club, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I saw the other day. You know who I saw?
Oh, Greenwood. Didn't end up well. But that's
Remember when Willie Keane was the star of the United Academy? I saw him playing for Ireland against France the other day. Now he plays for Preston or something like that in either the Championship or League One. But he was apparently the next big one, the big star to come out of the Academy, scoring loads of goals with them. And
did he suffer an injury? Was that?
Yeah, I think so, maybe. But the cycles, especially at that age group, the cycles, you can't always have a class of 92 generation. Nobody has. Even La Masia go through times where they don't produce anybody. And also people, I think, underestimate this, how high the step is from the under-21s. Or under-23, whatever you want to call them. First team, especially in those big clubs.
They're under-21s now, because it used to be the under-23s. Yeah. They've changed it. They've moved it to under-21s, which I think makes sense. Under-23s is kind of like I don't think is meaningful from a development standpoint, the way under 21s is. Having them play in the EFL Trophy, you know, you can say, oh, it's men against boys. They still get a little bit of that experience. But like you said, they play each other all the time. I think Man City's won like the last three.
Yeah, something like that. Chelsea probably the three before.
Yeah, it doesn't bode well.
No.
Jules, quick trivia question. Do you know who the top scorer in Europe's big five leagues is so far this season? I'll give you a hint. It's not Erling Haaland. Nope. It's not Kylian Mbappe. Nope. It's not Victor Osimhen.
Nope.
It's not Robert Lewandowski.
Nope.
It's not Harry Kane.
Nope.
It's somebody who was born and raised in France, but he's not Paris born and bred. He comes from the city of Vincent van Gogh, and his name is
Serge Gnabry.
And I feel terrible that we haven't talked about him yet.
I did put him in my quick hits for Monday's show and you ignored it completely because he scored 10 goals.
Fans.
10 goals in 5 Bundesliga games with Stuttgart. Stuttgart flying.
He's on pace to score 76 goals this season.
Which is not
more than Erling Haaland. More than Gerd Muller.
Very true.
More than Bastos.
You know when you're like in that zone where everything you try, literally every touch, every dribble, every shot, everything just go, like, just is perfect. That's what Serge Gnabry is going through now because I think, because I looked the other day, his highest goal scoring season, I think in the league, just the league, I think he's something like 14 maybe.
At Rennes.
In Amiens, I think he had a really good year as well. But he's already on 10 after 5 games. Incredible. Okay.
He's
really
27,
incredible.
So we expect some sort of regression
he's
to the mean.
He's had really bad injuries, to be fair to him, at wrong times in his career when he had big moves and things like that. So I'm really, really happy. He's such a lovely, lovely guy. And you know what? I remember 10 years ago, I think it was, going to watch him for Auxerre with an English scout, a scout from an English club who were ready to sign him. And they were not sure. They were sign him. No, we don't. They hesitated. In the end, they didn't sign him. And to be fair, until now, they were kind of proven right because he hadn't really hit the ceiling that we thought or the level that we thought he could reach. So maybe at 27, this is the season that is going to turn his fortune and he's going to be a top, top, top scorer.
Did he grow up in Arles? Do you know?
Then he went to Montargis, which is more...
No, I'm saying when he was a little boy, like, was he running around the Camargue on his own and like,
I think he grew up there, but then moved quite early to closer to Paris. So I cannot claim...
You can't claim him, sorry.
But, you know, still. UEFA have relaxed sanctions against Russia, Gabby, and we allow national teams to compete at under 17 level. A number of countries, including England, Lithuania, Poland, Latvia, and crucially Sweden, who are hosting the next under 17 Euros, have said that they will boycott, and Ukraine obviously not happy either.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Red Ukraine won't be playing them. So I understand the argument. Obviously, in some sports, individual athletes have been allowed to compete. I understand the argument that this is under 17 level, right? So these are kids who, you know, have nothing to do with the war. Equally, I also understand that if there are UN sanctions out there and if you take a stance, you're taking a stance against a federation, right? And I think you have to have some sensitivity for your members. You already have, six countries at least who've come out publicly and said that, you know, they're not going to play against them, including, crucially, Sweden. They're organizing the tournament. And what I don't understand here is UEFA, Sweden?
Yeah. How does it work? Do UEFA need a vote from all 54 members? Can Seferin take this decision on his own? Like nobody else is?
That's a very good question. I don't think Seferin can take the decision on his own. I think he would need the executive committee to approve it. I don't think it's a vote of all the members. I'm not even sure when the members would have met to, or when the executive committee would have met to approve this. It doesn't seem like a very well thought out plan a very popular plan. I don't know who out there is clamoring to see a bunch of Russian under 17 players play.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be unkind to the kids and sport and politics should mix. There's United Nations resolution out there, right? It's pretty clear. The trend seems to be in that direction because you see it with the Olympic Committee and whatever else. I'd like it if UEFA showed a little bit of backbone and especially care to the members. And I think they will. I don't think this is going to stand.
No, I agree.
Rino Gattuso's back, baby. He's the new manager of Olympique Marseille. Jules, he had a rough time at Valencia. Yeah. Is he the right man for the Velodrome? I bet Uncle George Mendes thinks he is.
Yeah, Uncle George, well done to him. I mean, Christophe Galtier was the one they wanted, really, and he turned them down for different reasons, not just the fact that obviously he was at PSG very recently because he's a Marseille born and bred kid. And I think he would have loved to manage Marseille. It was just not the right time, he said. So then plan B was Reno. And yesterday for his first training session, he said to the players, I want to create a family because in a family, you know, we fight, we love each other. We argue, we fight, but we love each other and we fight until the end together. And then, which is such a Reno Gattuso line, he said, and we're going to be warriors. I want warriors. So before talking about 4-3-3, 4-4-2 style of play, it was all about warrior, family. Let's fight for each other together. Is that enough? I don't know. There's a lot of fans who are not happy, clearly, because, okay, he won the Coppa d'Italia with Napoli during COVID, but it was not perfect by far. In Milan, was not perfect. In Valencia, was far from perfect. They sacked him when they were 14th, 1 point above the bottom three. So I don't know. We will see. It will be tough for them. And they start with Monaco at the weekend, who are a great team so far this season. It's very toxic right there at the Velodrome. I don't know. They're good players there. So let's see. Give him a chance, of course.
15% of Ligue 1 managers are now Italian. I don't know what that says.
50?
15.
Oh, 15.
And
I think that's saying there's just like nothing. What is more interesting? So we have two managers sacked or left in Marseille, obviously, and Lyon. I don't think there's been one in the Premier League, yeah?
No, not yet.
In Serie A, where you are the manager eaters. I don't think you've had one either.
No.
Usually we're not so, you know, so ahead in this trend.
Yeah,
but hey.
You're getting you're copying all the bad bits.
Yeah, of Italy. Exactly. Chelsea, we said, won in the League Cup, but also finally have a shirt sponsor, Gab, is something called Infinite Athletes. And they will reportedly be paying 40 million a season. I mean, just one season, because they've signed for just one season, right?
Yeah, so it's a weird one. So you're wondering, like, what is Infinite Athlete?
Yeah.
Can I go and buy some Infinite Athlete? Am I
like data
local
stuff?
Convenient? It's data stuff to do with biomechanics and injuries. They have a partnership with Chelsea already, I guess, to support their athletes, their playing squad. It seems weird. My feelings on this. This seems odd to me. This is not... You and I aren't going to become Infinite Athlete clients, right? I don't understand on the front of it why a company would go when it's a B2B company. And look, there's many examples, right? We had TeamViewer with Manchester United and so on. But at least TeamViewer, it's some sort of business to business, but there's a lot of businesses out there and so on that could have use for this stuff. I don't know who other than professional sports teams has any need for Infinite Athlete. And I presume... You know, they work in the NFL and stuff. They're already well known. Also, for me personally, I think Infinite Athlete is a completely stupid name and also deceitful because the athlete does not become infinite.
That's true.
As Rocky Balboa says, time is undefeated. There is no such thing.
Do you have an issue with who owns, or suddenly who has 18% of the shares of this Infinite Athlete company?
Ah, you've researched their cap table.
Yes.
Who does?
Who does? They're owned by the City Football Group.
Ah.
That's why the Premier League had to give their approval to this deal, because isn't it a bit weird that Manchester City, technically, let's put it broadly, owns some of the, 20%. A big chunk of the company that are going to sponsor Chelsea.
It's one of many things. I will say this. The thing that gets me most about Infinite Athlete. Look, I'm not dissing their product. I assume it's a great product.
Yeah.
We're spending money on it.
I hope so for them.
I'm just wondering. I'm just going to make fun of their name because I don't like it. But I'd say it's better than the previous name. The company was previously known as Tempus Ex Machina. That rolls off. You want to appeal to something to jocks and athletes? Yeah, try to sell them something called Tempus Ex Machina.
How would it even fit on the, a little Raheem Sterling shirt?
All I can say is their product must be exceptional because whatever marketing shyster designed their name, I don't think has gotten it done. So it's got to be a really, really good product.
That's very true.
Four Paris Saint-Germain players are in trouble, Jules, for joining in with the fans and singing songs about Marseille after a club's 4-0 win in Le Classique.
Yeah.
Is this becoming a trend? We saw with Milan earlier this year and so on.
In the bet, yeah. Well,
is this necessary? Why? What?
I don't know, they were celebrating with the ultras, you know, as you often do, and then the cameras were still there, and they were singing
the songs the ultras sing.
A song that is obviously insulting to Marseille.
But insulting how? Was it? Does it cross lines into territorial discrimination?
Yeah, it's not nice. And I should remind you as well that towards the end of the game, the ultras sang this song that is sang in Paris against Marseille that is also, you know, with gay slurs in it towards the Marseille.
But this wasn't
people.
The players.
No, that was the fans. So the club were going to the discipline committee for what the ultras did, and those four players also go there. And
bad content was there in what those four players actually sang, including Ousmane Dembele?
So yeah, Dembele, Hakimi, Kolomwani, and the fourth one, I can't remember who the fourth one is. Right. Insulting chants and discriminatory chants against
Marseille. It is discriminatory.
Marseille. Yeah,
right? It's either racist.
So in the past we've had one game ban, one game suspended ban, stuff like that, a fine. So this is on October the 5th. So let's see what happens. But both the club and those four players could be in trouble, are in trouble, really. FIFA moving more than 100 jobs from Zurich to Miami. What is this about? They want more sun? They want the beach?
That's exactly it, actually. What they want is they want to strengthen their ability to go windsurfing.
What?
Yeah, no, it's no. I did work on their tans.
Can we move to Miami as well? Is that possible? Can
you'd rather do that than move to Zurich and do some skiing?
Yeah.
So they're moving their legal, audit, compliance, and risk management departments.
Okay.
Officially, the explanation is FIFA wanted to be more globalized and so on. Obviously, they have an office in Paris as well.
Yes.
Which seems weird because Paris is just up the road from Zurich, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it's also obviously with a view towards the 2025 Club World Cup and the 2026 World Cup, which, unlike other World Cups, we've talked about this a little bit, normally the host country creates a local organizing committee, which organizes the stadiums and the logistics. Here, FIFA are handling the organization directly. There's been some pushback from some cities about that. If I were to be a little cynical, I would throw two other factors out there, one good, one bad. One is the relationship between FIFA and the Swiss government isn't great right now, mm-hmm. as you know. Infantino being endlessly investigated because he met with a guy named Lauber, who was the Swiss Attorney General, who was investigating his predecessor, Blatter, and all the people that were involved in the scandal. And was it appropriate? He didn't report the meeting. This is years ago. The other factor, I think, might have to do with sponsors. So, rightly or wrongly, there's a lot of money and there's a lot of people who invest money into the U.S. Or from the U.S.
From the U.S., yeah.
If I'm a U.S. company and say, hey, what's the soccer thing all about? And am I going to be more comfortable dealing with an entity that is in Switzerland, where I'm not saying Switzerland's a bad place because that's a legal system or whatever, but am I going to trust the legal system in Switzerland more than the legal system in the U.S. and have some of those guarantees, some of those access to funds and sponsors? I think there's a lot of people who feel better about it if it's in the U.S. relative to Switzerland, where, of course, they used to hide stolen gold and stuff like that. But no, they don't do that anymore.
No.
So I think all these things, it is weird, but, you know, Gianni Infantino, not really conventional.
Yeah.
Reece James has been charged by the FA for allegedly abusing Jared Gillette over the Malo Gusto red card in Chelsea's home defeat against Aston Villa at the weekend. Jules, I guess if he gets suspended, it's not that big a deal because he's injured anyway, right?
Yeah, completely.
It's a great time. This is what you do.
Yeah, well, like, he probably thought about it, saying like, and also for the people who don't know, at Stamford Bridge, the players who are not in the squad still sit behind the bench or by the bench there. I mean, it's not just at Stamford Bridge, Arsenal as well. There's loads of stadium where even the injured players or suspended players are still very much with the squad. So you see the fourth referee, you see that you're very close to the pitch. And that, you know, he didn't abuse him from his box at Stamford Bridge, Reece James. He was right there by the pitch. That's right. But you're right. Even if he's suspended, he won't care anymore.
I don't want to give anybody, including perhaps one former Chelsea manager who might now be in Rome, any ideas. But Can you imagine you just get a bunch of injured players to go abuse the referee and take your suspensions for you?
I know.
Just imagine these guys on crutches and stuff and with bandaged heads going and burying the referee and saying like, you want to bat us? Bat us! Ha ha ha! I'm out until February.
Remember those caps on agent fees, Gab, that FIFA had introduced? Well, that won't be happening in England, at least for a while.
Yeah, so FIFA had introduced caps on the amount of money intermediaries could charge. It's up to 10% of the total transfer value. I was against the caps. I always say, let's have transparency more than caps. I don't care how much money you make, as long as you can justify and as long as people know about it. Stakeholders know about it.
Fair enough.
Four major agencies in the UK have successfully petitioned a court to block the order. There's going to be a legal challenge. There'll be a trial. The way it works is FIFA can't go and impose these caps in internal transfers between English clubs. The FA have to do it. So FIFA can tell the FA, hey, FA, you need to do this. The FA says, okay. But now the court says, no, FA, stop. And so the FA here in England has to stop. So it's relevant because there's legal challenges all over the world in different jurisdictions. And we may end up with a situation where FIFA can really only apply this for international transfers. But it's definitely one to watch.
Yeah.
Ajax's match against Feyenoord that had been abandoned at the weekend after the Ajax fans all decided to shoot flares onto the pitch and whatnot was completed with Feyenoord scoring again to win 4-0. Your boy Jimenez.
Yeah, Santi Jimenez again.
Jules, things aren't getting any better there.
No, but they were not going to get better for the like.
Why do they have to finish this game? Why not just say like, oh, look, game abandoned. You lose 3-0. Let's call it here. Forfeit the match.
Maybe because then, as you said on Monday, and rightly so, maybe fans where their games would, you know, their team were losing, would just do that on purpose to get the game abandoned and it's not finished. I don't know. Maybe they wanted to give Ajax a chance to come back in the game. I've got no idea, but they played it. No fans. 4-0. You get battered. You still have your rubbish manager, Maurice Tin, there. I don't know.
At least Mislintat's gone.
Yeah, Mislintat's gone, I guess. But it's so chaotic there, so toxic. I don't know how they get out of that hole. The Times report that Saudi Arabia is planning to recruit top referees from Europe to go with the top players that they've already recruited for the league. Is this a good thing or should we be worried?
Worried about what? I'm just waiting for them to recruit top podcasters.
Oh my God, yeah.
So that our competitors can all leave and then we have it all to ourselves. Hey. No, just kidding. Look, it's inevitable. It's a free market, right? Once referees turn professional, they're free to go. You already had situations where they ask for permission. They bring in foreign refs on a one-off basis. In fact, there's the American referee, Isfahan, I think is his name. He's of Moroccan descent, but he's American. He's the guy who Cristiano Ronaldo chased around the pitch a couple weeks ago. There's nothing stopping them. Okay. They can do it. I don't think there's going to be an exodus of Premier League referees because Premier League referees are generally pretty well paid and they like the publicity and everything. But, you know, we talk about professional referees, but outside of the top, I think, three or four leagues, I'm not sure they're even technically professionals, although they earn like professionals. But beneath that, if you're not an international caliber referee, most of these guys have second jobs. So I think it could be, if they're not looking for publicity, if they just want competent referees, maybe they start taking people from, I don't know, Belgium, who are not FIFA referees, or Portugal, or places like that, I would think.
Yeah, be interesting.
Kadidiatou Diani has made some very serious allegations against former Paris Saint-Germain women's coach Didier Ole-Nicole, Jules.
Yeah, she's pressed charges this week. I mean,
she's a French international.
She used to play for PSG. Now she's at Lyon. She moved in the summer. That was a few months ago. It broke yesterday or the day before. Yesterday, she said that a couple of times he touched her bum, basically, and a few other girls as well in that team. This is some allegation that were there before that he denies. His lawyers still says that he hasn't been interviewed by the police, that nothing has been happening, and this was about to die. That the first case before Diani went to the police to say that, and the Ole Nicole camp is saying that her boyfriend or partner, who's also her agent, is kind of at war against PSG. He was trying to do that to put pressure on PSG and on Ole Nicole before he left. So it's a really messy situation. I would want to believe Diani. I know her bet. She did that is because that really happened. The investigators don't, are a bit skeptical about this story, by the way, and everything around Ole Nicole, because it also happened during the Hamraoui.
I was going to bring up Kira Hamraoui.
No, of course. Like, because Gianni's partner and agent was very
Eric
much involved.
Abidal's wife. No, just kidding.
No, but there was it was very much involved in all of this and stuff. So it's quite complicated. I tried to make it simple.
Her agent and partner was involved in the Kira Hamraoui case?
In the background kind of stuff, yeah.
Because his client was a teammate.
Yeah, and his name, I think he kind of advised, he was some sort involved in what happened after the incident and the assault. It was really strange. It was at the time where he wanted a new deal for some of his clients who play for the PSG women team, and where he won, apparently, according to the police again, and the investigator trying to put pressure on the club. So yeah, loads of like kind of layers again, a bit like for the Aussie men, into this Gianni Ole Nicole story that goes back to the Hamraoui assault.
Why can't Paris Saint-Germain be a normal club? The men's team, the women's team.
It will never be a normal club. Sevilla beat up Almeria 5-1, Gab, on Tuesday. That's three games without defeat in a row now for Armand Mendilibar. Is the crisis over, or Almeria really bad, or both?
Almeria are really, really, really bad. Bad. There's a reason. I mean, I think they have 2 points, but I don't know how they have those 2 points, to be honest. I let Sevilla look good. I think they really needed this. Suso getting on the score sheet. He's had a difficult time. Your man, Luca Bacchio, again.
Yeah. Really good goal as well.
Look, Sevilla are much better than where they are in the table. I think they've shown it in the cups and so on. And I think this can take some of the pressure off. I think their natural position should be this year, top six, top eight.
Yeah.
And then a run in the cups, because that's how they roll. No Lionel Messi, no Jordi Alba, and no party for Inter Miami as they lose the U.S. Open Cup final to the Houston Dynamo. Jules.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've said a lot, Gabby, about the Messi miracle and how great this was. And when they went in the leagues, was it the leagues?
The leagues cup.
The leagues cup, exactly, and how good they were. But that the test really would be won when Messi was not on great form, or maybe when Messi wasn't there, and how far this team had gone under Tata, and just Busquets. I mean, you can't ask Robert Taylor to do what Messi does, right? When Messi isn't there, I guess. And they were beaten. Not that they didn't do well. They scored late by Josef Martinez, but they had chances, didn't take them. And on the other hand, Houston did take theirs. So it would be a disappointment. Now they need to try to qualify for the playoffs. They need a big push because they are way behind, but it's not impossible.
It's a disappointment, but you know what? When a team that is what, last or second to last on the table at this point are missing their best player and then the final competition, you generally don't expect them to win.
No, that's true. Aston Villa players have complained to the hitmaker Castore, I don't even know.
I have no idea. It's some northern
that
thing.
The official like team kit for the men and the women's team are weighing them down and creating a wet look. They get clearly soaked very quickly with sweat. Gab, what do you make of this?
The women's team have also complained.
Yeah. They're starting the WSL this weekend. They're not happy either.
Okay, I don't like talking about kit. I don't really understand this. This brand, by the way, is an English brand from somewhere up north. They just obviously, because you're trying to sell things, obviously you're going to pretend that you have like an Italian-sounding or French-sounding name. Otherwise, you know, nobody's going to go and... Yeah, you've seen it happen before.
I know, but you
Umbro,
know
for example, they're not Italian, right?
No, but, I know. But
so the issue with this kit, and by the way, it's only certain kits because they also sponsor, they also supply the kit, I think, to Wolves, and I've never heard Wolves complain about
it. Yeah.
They did supply Brentford's second kit last year, and they complained about the point that Brentford apparently kept wearing their third kit. Essentially, apparently, the complaint is it doesn't wick properly. So
what's wick?
So wick is when you're wearing the kit, you sweat, and you know, it's like if you wear like performance gear or technical gear.
Oh yeah. It absorbs kind of thing.
Rather than absorbing it, it kind of pushes it to the outside and it gets released in the air.
Okay.
Here apparently the kit retains it, so it makes people heavier. Certainly it looks like absolute trash with those big ugly stains.
True.
Um
What I don't understand about this is, surely if you're Aston Villa, before, you know, they design the kit, they supply it to you.
Yeah.
Surely they supply samples and say, oh, this is what it looks like. Yeah. This is the material. I'm also not clear why, like, the second kit might be like this, but not the first kit.
They must have played in preseason with them, so they would have known way before now. I don't know.
Maybe they didn't sweat much. Maybe they played preseason games.
By the way, Castor in French is beavers. I'm not sure I would have picked that name, but, you know, it's only me.
I have no idea. I don't want to diss the company.
No.
Send us three gear if you want. We'll test them out. I'll see how I sweat wearing the show.
Take them at the gym, yeah.
I also do think, to some degree, as you know, players are also weirdly superstitious and complain. It may also be that they're making a big deal and this company's getting a raw deal. I genuinely don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
But I do know that Unai Emery doesn't like it. So, hey. Jules, this brings us to an end. You're going to be back on Monday. I won't, because I'll be at my mom's 80th birthday party.
Amazing.
How about that?
Yes.
Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.